Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, we've put together a collection of stories and songs for the holidays. JP will sing some of his own Christmas tunes, we'll visit with a snowman, and even Santa Claus himself will drop in. The Wally Post Orchestra is our Yuletide backup band, and Machine plays us a medley of classics.
Yeah, I know what I want for Christmas, Julie.
Well, what's that?
World peace.
That's nice.
Yeah, so while everyone else is lulled into a hippie sense of security, I can rise to power and rule the world from the North Pole.
You're supposed to use Christmas wishes for good.
Oh, it's good, believe me.
How is that good?
Well, I'll be a benevolent ruler. Wealth for all, safe streets, education, a 200-foot yacht, all babies must be named JP, you know, a real Christmas utopia.
You are the worst possible Santa Claus.
At least I won't steal the children's cookies.
Those are gifts.
Wait, so I get cookies too?
Okay, you realize this is a fantasy, right?
Nope.
Christmas wishes aren't real?
Scrooge.
Fine.
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is An American Parlor Christmas with your host, J.P. Houston.
Well, thank you, folks. And now on the other microphone, my Christmas wish, Julie Van Dusen. What a beautiful winter day here on the mountain. Nice to be in the pines this Christmas, 5,000 feet up in Lake Arrowhead, California, here at the Tudor House Theater in the Grand Room. Bellies are full. We sit up close to the fireplace and get our cheeks all rosy, the ones on your face, too. We're all ready to celebrate the holidays, and it is the season to be jolly. Yes, get as jolly as possible. Now, you're just going to roll yourself around from party to party and eat everything in sight. You just park yourself next to that fudge plate there, and well, you try and look like you just happen to be standing there. You know the move. You just, oh, what, fudge? It's the first time I've ever seen that there. Maybe I'll have one or 15. And then 4,000 calories later, you eat a carrot stick when your wife looks over at you. You see carrots, right? And then, well, you do the French drop and you switch in the ringer, a handful of Hershey's Kisses, tinfoil and all, spitting out the tinfoil. And then, well, I even have a special pair of pants for the holidays. I've got one button for each of the 12 days of Christmas, you know, looser and looser. And it's kind of like the advent calendar of horror. Slowly revealing more and more big white belly. And then, well, on Christmas Eve, I lie in the middle of the living room floor, and Julie climbs my gut and plants a star right in my belly. You hear a ding, and little Zuzu shouts, "Teacher says, every time a bell rings, a middle-aged man gets Christmas diabetes." Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. One-horse open sleigh. Anyone know exactly what that is? Okay, we've got a one horse, right? It's pulling an open sleigh. I guess no roof, so one horse open sleigh makes sense, right? A one horse open sleigh. Well, there are a lot of those Christmas traditions, though, the antiquated things we know and love, but well, we don't really know why or even what the words mean. Like those two guys who came to visit baby Jesus, Frankenstein and Merv. There's no mention of them anywhere else in the Bible, right? It's like out of nowhere, a big green monster walks in with someone's weird uncle. He used to scare the heck out of me when I was a kid. But for some reason, a fat man in a red suit breaking into the house at night, well, that was fine. I'd even leave him cookies. One year, I remember distinctly through the foggy mist of Christmas past, well, I snuck down the stairs to catch a glimpse of old St. Nick. And well, I peeked around the corner, and there the old hound dog was, laying a big fat kiss on my mother. I ran back to bed in tears. My poor father, the family's gonna fall apart. It wasn't until a good 30 years later that Julie here, she finally explained to me that just like in the song, it was my father dressed up as Santa Claus and my mother was kissing my father. It's a big relief that the twinkle returned to my inner child's eye. It still doesn't explain, though, why 9 months later my little sister popped out with a big white beard and the ability to command flying deer. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Down, everybody.
Now let's take a moment to remember the last shred of humility as we prepare to drink ourselves stupid this Christmas. Remember those who once didn't photocopy their butts at the staff party, and we'll spare a thought for your grandfather and that racist rant in front of your new boyfriend. And forget not the person that you once were who had a little shame and didn't drunk dial your ex at 4 a.m. And we'll offer a little preemptive apology for rearranging the nativity scene into that appalling disgrace. And remember this as you crawl into bed spinning and wake up with the taste of a horse farm in your mouth. The cure for a Christmas hangover is New Year's champagne, and then January 2nd schnapps, and then the 5th of whiskey, and the mid-month martinis, and February lager, and then mid-February schnapps, and then some beer again in March, and then I'm starting to think that I may have a bit of a problem. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. A whole slew of lesser-known verses to this song. I looked some up and I thought maybe I'd share one of the more interesting ones with you. It goes a little something like this. It is quite okay forgetting your wife's gifts, and forgivable if Christmas you miss. I think that's how it goes. Because you went to town to see your old friend Doug, and you both got all tanked up and TP'd your own house. No, come on, Julie, I swear. It's a valued adage in this long-standing Christmas standard. It's practically the law. You have to put up with it. And no, I'm not making it up. It's just like I didn't make up that other Christmas classic. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is totally the one who peed in the closet last night. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Now help me out with this verse here. We're going to sing a verse. You know all the verses, right? Dashing through the snow. Let's do this. Dashing through the snow. Black ice. I don't want to say Fort Taurus. O'er the fields we go off-road. Laughing all the way maniacally. Bells on bobtails ring more like sirens. Making spirits bright. A couple too many spirits. But fun it is to ride a sleigh in socks. Now watch out for that tree. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Come on. Fun show for you this Christmas. Some friends are stopping by. We're going to tell some stories. We're going to sing some songs. And we're going to celebrate the best time of the year. So come join us. It's going to be nice. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Here's a song I wrote a few Christmases ago for a puppet friend on television. I like to sing it every year. It's called Merry Merry.
Out in the Whitechapel slums, all the bums warm their hearts on stolen sherry. They're singing songs, taking slugs from the cup, singing fa-la-la-la-la. Merry, merry, fa-la-la-la-la, merry, merry. Inside the walls of St. Paul's, Father calls out a hymn for the meek and weary. The Father, the Ghost, yeah, the Son and his Mom singing Amen, merry, merry. Amen, merry, merry. Up in the steeples, the ringing bells are tolling from Poland to Israel, where they burn the candles 8 long days and holy nights. Oh, Saudi's feasting on their halla, eat our fiddle, praise be Allah. All is well when the world is full of love and light, and we all sing fa la la. Merry, merry.
marry you. Back in the White Chapel slums, all the bums polish off their frozen sherry. They'll close their eyes, drift away as they sway, singing fa la 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 la, Mary Mary. Fa la 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 la, Mary Mary. Fa la 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 la, Mary Mary.
Well, the best Christmas is the one that almost wasn't. Now, this is a true story. I was 4 years old and a firm believer and avid supporter of Santa Claus and his generous philanthropy. I would eagerly start the countdown on December 26, 365 to go, but not this year. For reasons beyond my post-toddler comprehension, this was a leap year. Somehow, all of us were going to jump over an entire day. Which one? I would find out soon enough. Kindergarten was a bore, all those runny noses and farty boys, ABCs, duck, duck, goose, wheels on the bus, and show and tell, oh, brother. Well, it was all just a tedious obstacle between me and the only day of the year, Christmas. So I was successfully mimicking the sing-along one day, just look straight ahead and open and close your mouth to the beat and blend in, fly under the radar, when suddenly something broke through the vacant bubble. It was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We were singing Christmas carols. At long last, the season to be jolly. I wasn't merely awake, I was alive. And then the hardest part, the longest 5 minutes of a kindergartner's life, those last five before the Christmas break bell, and you'd practically leap out the window when it went off, run home for the food and for the fun and for the presents. Don't forget the presents. Well, Christmas week went by in a blur of chocolate and snowball fights, and then, like every year, Uncle Henry put the final decoration on the tree. Old Henry was 6'5" and the only one capable of reaching the top of the tree in my family of little people. He was tall but not steady. The tree would sway a little as he grabbed hold to find his balance. Oh, oh, and then at last a star on top. And the tradition continued. Well, we'd get to open one present on the eve to tide us over. I escaped the dinner table early and attempted to wait casually by the tree. Play it cool, you don't want to seem too eager. Well, the family enters the room and everyone gathers around and gets ready for the fun. I reach for a big, shiny, green wrapping on a big, fat box, and suddenly the door flies open and through the blowing snow, my father enters. Stop! It's a leap year. The Queen has declared Christmas must be skipped. Oh, God, no, not Christmas. It's the only day. Skip all the others, but not this one. My heart raced. But what about the presents, the chocolate, the songs, the turkey? The whole family was in on the act, and everyone but me had been privy to the negotiations going on at the top levels of government. The calendar was at stake, and one day had to go, and it was Christmas's turn. And then the phone rang, and my father answers. He nods his head, yes, His sources at the newspaper were giving him the updates. I stared up his leg to his face, trying to make out the meaning of his mumbles. The council had reconvened and was vigorously debating the fate of Christmas with one last-minute appeal from Santa Claus himself. The night stretched on, and in my mind, I could see them, the Pope, the Queen, Chinese emperors, Russian generals with big eyebrows, a montage of shouts, impassioned pleas, and of course, Santa steadfastly holding his ground. Filibuster, Santa, for all us kids, filibuster. The sun had set, and at 9 p.m., the deadline was at hand. My spirits were low and the anxiety all too much. My father had left for a shift at the newswire, and he promised he would call, and I would know before anyone else. Well, it's 8:59, and I was ready to pack it in, begin the excruciating 365-day count all over again. But no, the phone rang. The phone, it was ringing, the sound of church bells. Like the sound of church bells, the phone, it was ringing. I ran to the kitchen and climbed the chair. I picked up. My father was on the line. Hang on, I have the Queen's aide on the phone all the way from London. He's going to give you the news as the vote comes through. Hello? Is this young John Paul in Canada? Cheerio. Well, he did sound like my father, but an accent. No one can fake an accent. The seconds tick. I cross my fingers. The Queen is making her decision. The note is being passed to the chairman, and Christmas is on. Hark the herald angels. Oh, joy, Christmas is on. The presents get given. The turkey gets cooked. Oh, joy, oh, bliss, Christmas is on. And there'll never be another like this. You there, boy, run to the market and buy the biggest goose in the window. Cratchit, have a raise. Christmas is on.
Thank you.
Julie and I and everyone at American Parlor Songbook would like to wish everyone out there a happy holidays, Christmas or Hanukkah or non-denominational flying spaghetti monster. Whatever you're up to, well, we hope that you're safe, happy, and that your year has been a good one.
There you go, you big snowy dingus. Yeah, I have a carrot stick in your ear. Oh, wait, I know. I'm going to give you some boots for arms. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, this potato for your nose. Oh, I know, a couple of boogers for your eyes. Wait, there we go. And perfect. I'm a regular Picasso. No, wait. He needs a finishing touch. Oh, hey. Look what just blew over here. It's an old silk hat. Oh, this'll top it off real good. Let me just reach up there and... ta-da! Perfect! Ha! Oh, this what a dope. He looks like my special cousin Ronnie.
Who am I?
Ah! Whoa!
Hello? Are you my mother?
Oh, I must have eaten some yellow snow or an icicle must have hit me and now I'm dreaming.
What is dreaming?
You know, the happy fantasy land you go to when you're sweeping.
Well, that sounds nice. Can I go there?
Sorry, Jack. I think you're more for nightmares.
I'm scary?
I don't know. You tell me. I mean, one minute I'm packing up snowballs, the next you come alive and you start asking me questions.
What is alive?
That's what happens after born and before dead.
Why was I born?
I don't know. I guess because I made you? Must have been that silk hat. Or maybe it was that chicken heart and incantation I read earlier. No, it's a silk hat. Definitely the silk hat.
But why did you make me?
I don't know. Something to laugh at, I guess. I'll watch it melt in the spring. I don't know. Kid's got a kid.
Am I supposed to do anything?
Nope. No, you got it covered. Just stand there looking goofy, and then come spring, you know, drip.
Oh, but why would you bring me into the world like this? I mean, what's the point of it all?
Well, I don't know. I'm a kid. I ain't no philosopher.
Just end it now. Put me out of my misery.
Look, Snowball, I ain't no murderer. And I ain't catching no rap for slewing a softy like you, no matter how imaginary you is.
Just get the shovel over there, and with one good whack, it'll all be over.
No way. I ain't got the stomach for it, Bob.
Get a hair dryer and just point it over at me.
No way. If you think I'm gonna get all Kevorky in here, you know, rig up some kind of hair dryer death machine, look, you're sorely mistaken. Sorry, Whitey. That's the way the Christmas cookie crumbles.
How can you be so cold about this?
Hey, don't tell me about cold there, Snowflake.
Don't you want to take some kind of responsibility for your actions?
Hi-ya! Ha-ha! Oh! There. Now you got a dumb-looking bucket on your head.
Karma, kid. Karma is going to sneak up on you.
Oh, I doubt it, Flaky. Snowmen come and go. But kids, we've always been around. Always gonna be. Hey, suck it, Snowy. I smell hot chocolate. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Frosty closed his booger eyes that night and made a big Christmas wish. And so, as the spring loomed and tensions between the world's superpowers increased, on Christmas Eve, while Timmy slept, it all boiled over in a great rain of ballistic missiles. It would be Timmy who melted that night. And our snowy friend, well, our snowy friend, he's enjoying another year of nuclear winter. Merry Christmas to all! Merry Christmas indeed.
You know, Christmas really is my favorite time of year. I'm a big sucker for the whole thing. I love all the songs and the movies and the family and the food. Well, I was thinking about my hometown in Canada at this time of year, and it really was almost like a Norman Rockwell painting or a paper snow soundstage in an old movie. We'd skate at the city hall on the frozen fountain and stare in the old Simpson Sears window at the automated display there, ride home on the rusty yellow streetcar and walk those last few blocks in a snowball fight, and you'd forget how cold it was until you opened the door and felt that warm blast from the furnace. You know, I don't get back there as much as I should at this time of year, so, well, I wrote this song here about it to paint myself a little picture.
Out on Queen Street, slugging through the snow, hear those swaying long lost souls moan. Salted pant cuffs slugging on the stone. Rusted yellow streetcars rattle as they run on the bluest car tonight. Snap in the sudden stem. Ignites, I'm falling from Fahrenheit. Bed I lay at home, wrap head to toe, there I will lay. Keep on swaying slow to the Salvation Army band. Amen. This ain't just homecoming. Somebody's song. Find a life. Spare a thought if you can. Amen. 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 Out on Queen Street, swaying in the snow. Warbler's car went old and old.
The snow was as white as nothing. You had to squint when the sun was out just to make it to the street. Acres and acres of the icy stuff blown in from the Arctic and poured with generous abandon on the east end of Toronto. The sliding glass door at the back of the house made for an ant farm dissection of the snow pileup. Last summer's beach ball, an old roller skate, a doll head, all suspended in the white display against the glass. Now, if you opened it too fast, it would crumble and fall onto the rug, so you had to gingerly slide it left with Mission Impossible precision just to keep that perfect white wall intact. My old man would tiptoe around the back of the house on the coldest days of the year. He'd be coming home from an all-night shift at the office, and well, our eyeballs would be glued on the Saturday morning cartoons, and we wouldn't see him commando across the back deck. He'd slide off his gloves and plunge his bare mitts under the frosty snow and let the temperature drop and drop until mere moments before frostbite set in, and then a cold blast would hit your face as he opened the door, Scooby-Doo wipes from your mind, and there he is like a madman. We'd scatter, but only fast enough to get caught, because we loved it when he'd press his cold hands against our back and we'd squirm and laugh, a rare fun form of torture. He played Ebenezer Grinch broad and over the top. He was always denouncing the commercialism and complaining about the rote, phony traditions and generally humbugging the slightest hint of sentimentality. He always said he rooted for Scrooge to hold strong and fire Bob Cratchit. It was a thin veil the old miser wore, though. For a man who didn't believe in any of it all, well, he sure did spend a lot of time putting those lights up and picking a good tree. And why would a self-pronounced anti-Claus climb us all into bed for his Richard Burtonian reading of The Night Before Christmas every year? Well, it thrills me to say this, for it will surely make his green heart curdle, but I'd say he was the biggest Christmas softie of them all. If I was lucky, I'd get to go for the ride with him to the tree lot on Queen Street and pick out that tree. I'd crunch my feet on the last sliver at the bottom of the icy shoveled walk, through the lot looking up at those big green beauties. I always had a soft spot for the beat-up ones, the little guy with the one twig and the bent top. The poor misfit never stood a chance. Come on, Dad, can't we please take him home? No. Big, green, big and green, the bigger the better. As fat as John Candy and as green as the Yankee dollar. Let it rain pine needles on our living room 3 feet deep. I want doves nesting in it, and I want the trash man to yell timber on January 2nd. My father was never one for a fine automobile. He preferred the last resort. If he could trade the neighbor an oscillating fan for it, and it could roll start 80% of the time, well, he was sold. In this case, our Christmas chariot was a big white monstrosity known simply as the super van. It was a genuine mystery what factory that clunker rolled out of. The only markings on the beast were a metal plate, super van. Soup would eventually die in a parking lot one summer after spontaneously bursting into flames. This Christmas, though, it hauled the big stumpy green tree home without so much as a backfire. The way I figure it, Supervan was out to kill my father. Its second attempt in that parking lot there, and, well, the first, making sure that tree made it home safely. We pulled into the driveway next to our little brown house and dragged the corpse down the alley between us and the Moses place, around the back to that sliding glass door. Nikki and Melissa leapt from the couch and pressed their face against the glass. There it is, the future home of all those beautiful presents. The door slid open and we shoved the tree in, snow along the floor, thistles shedding into the middle of the room. And get the stand, let's look at this thing in its natural upright state. There's my mother in the kitchen door with their hands on her face. Oh, no. Well, it didn't take much for her to panic. In her mind, I'm sure all she could see were squirrels overrunning the place and well, the house going up in flames. Sister Michelle struts in. Nice tree, dipweeds. You gonna cut a hole in the ceiling? Leave it to a teenage girl to find the sarcastic in the most innocent of endeavors. Well, why don't we just move the living room outside? All right, zip it. We've got a tree to hoist. I rolled the metal stand around to the sappy base and clunked it against the stump. All right, stand back. Dad's got this. Just loosen these and give it a little twist and, okay, well, I'll just turn it this way and push a little harder. Maybe this way. What we have here is a tree too majestic for a measly Sears tin stand, or otherwise a tree too big for a little brown duplex. No matter, let's just stand it up, take a look, and we'll worry about the details later. Melissa, get under it. Nikki, get the top. JP, you get the middle. And Mom, you stand there looking terrified. Perfect. I've got the trunk, and up it goes. Oh, well, there's the ceiling. Oh, okay, no big deal. It's a little tall, and the stump's a little fat. Nothing power tools can't solve. Back out the door, everyone. Shove, and another pile of needles along the way. My dad's fondness for rust didn't stop at the auto department. It extended to rakes and shovels and screwdrivers and, yes, even power tools. That orange circle saw looked more like a buck-toothed Tonka truck than a safe way to cut anything. So we upped the safety rating one more notch with that brown extension cord all stripped, a prong halfway in the wrong direction. You plug it in at an angle and then bend it into place and tighten up the dangles of electrical tape as you make your way towards the spinning death blade. And, Mom, no, you have absolutely nothing to hide your eyes about. Dad has this under control. I'm just going to take a little off the trunk and shave it down here. Slim big green down just a few inches and screw that old tin stand in place and absolutely nothing's going to go wrong. Do I look like the kind of fool who would risk life and limb for a trite holiday tradition? Well, yes, Dad, you do a little bit. The blade starts to spin. I can't look, my mother says. She slinks away. You can do it, Dad. Mangle that thing. Off goes the bottom. Yeah, give it hell. And now, a little finesse. Just angle it like this and speed up that blade like a morning shave. As easy as... Oh, was that a finger? Ah, we all ran. Some away, some towards, some in circles. Blood. Christmas blood everywhere. My dad on his knees in the snow, holding his hand. That Tonka saw whizzes off like a one-wheeler until the end of the cord and zap, it shorts out. Well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, clearly, we just slide the door closed and forget we ever had a father, right? Well, he's no good to us without a finger anyway. I just stood there frozen. Melissa buried her head in the couch, and Nikki, little Nikki, the shyest and meekest of us all, well, she calmly made straight for the snow with a sandwich bag in hand and fearlessly began rummaging for the appendage. To the super van! If you think I'm paying $100 for an ambulance, you're Christmas crazy. You only need one hand to drive, so... But come on, super van, don't fail us now. I said a little prayer. Super van, if you save my dad's finger, I'll wash you every day for a year. It's alive! Off we go, me in the seatbeltless side, and Dad behind the wheel with his bloody stump careening down Wheeler Avenue on the way to the hospital. The crime scene in the yard made The Shining look like Snow White. A tree carcass strewn in the snow, spiral red out from the stump, like Quincy's worst nightmare. And there's little Nikki, carefully and peacefully combing the snow for the prize. Got it! Into the bag with some snow and off to the hospital a few minutes behind with Mrs. Moses. The Christmas emergency room is a sorry place. Drunken shiners, new bowling balls on toes, and of course, the most delicious of holiday dishes, the Christmas finger. His hand was completely balled up in a pound of paper. I was terrified. What if he can never cold our backs again? And under that wrap, oh God, how much was left? Would he be a monster? Is the family going to have to go on the road with the freak show? Behold, the bloody stump, the women gasp. We triage in and we wait in that little curtained room. Back on the road, the package squeals around the corner in a race against time. The curtain opens. It's the doctor. At last, doctor, save my finger, Dr. Stubbs. Yes, hand to my heart. The doctor's name was Dr. Stubbs. Not a good sign. So, Dr. Stubbs, how does it look? Is he going to survive? He slowly began to unravel the paper. A car squeals into the entrance. The doctor winds the wrap away. Nikki barrels through the double doors. He tosses the wad into the bin. She flies into the room. I've got it. Put them back together, Doc. Let's see. We'll just clean it up. And there, at the end of most of a man's baby finger, just a tiny missing sliver. A sandwich bag. Yes, there it is. An eighth of an inch just at the tip. Too small to reattach. Dr. Stubbs patched up the little mishap with a single stitch, and he sent us home with a prescription to buy a smaller tree. We huddled across the front seat of Supervan and bounced back up Wheeler Avenue into the drive, up the stairs, and to bed to let Santa Claus do his thing. For the first time ever on Christmas Eve, it was easy to fall asleep. After all that excitement, we went out like lights until... What in the name of... To the window, and down there in the red snow is Ebenezer Grinch, out to finish the job with one hand, and clang and drag, and we scurry down the stairs, and there, teetering atop a measly Sears tin stand, the evergreen, ever-huge holiday miracle, and beside it, the biggest nine-fingered Christmas softy this side of Bob Cratchit.
Top with a star, fa la la, playing catch with the moon, shooting jacks with the stars, when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air.
Give me a B.
B.
Give me an Igmart.
Igmart?
What's it spell?
Bigmart?
That's right. So let's do the Igmart name proud and put a B on it and execute a flawless Christmas rollout.
Now?
Yeah. Now, what is this, a holiday?
Yeah.
No. New Year's Day is not a holiday in my book. And my book is the Bigmart Employee Handbook. So let's get moving and execute a flawless Christmas rollout.
But it's January 1st.
The bottom line doesn't sleep, Jack.
My name isn't Jack.
It is to me, because guess what? You're not doing Jack squat, so stuff it and execute a flawless Christmas rollout.
Roll up, right?
Out, Jack squat, out.
But it's January 1st.
Which one of us is the regional promotion and marketing execution manager?
You are?
Well, that's right, I am. So go on ahead and execute a flawless Christmas rollout.
Out? Out?
Yeah, you heard me. Roll out the trees, roll out the toys, roll out the candy canes, and roll me up to the vice president's office. And while you're at it, guess what?
Execute.
That's right. Execute a flawless Christmas rollout.
Don't you think it's a little too soon?
Soon you're a baboon, Jack Squat. I'll do the thinking, and you do the executing of a flawless Christmas rollout.
But it's already out.
Do you like your job?
Not really. No.
Well, do you want the whole enterprise to come crumbling down around me and put us all out of work?
I don't care.
Well, you better care, because America wasn't built on not caring. America was built on executing a flawless Christmas rollout.
Don't you think that the people need a little break
from what? Purchasing high-quality items at low, low prices? Oh, yeah, sure. That's exactly what they need.
No, I don't know. You know, give them at least until Halloween,
oh,
right?
Oh, and while I'm at it, why don't I just tie my foot to the national debt and go straight to hell?
I don't know. I just think
oh, that... You just think we should live in a communist wonderland where toilet paper lines go around the block.
Communist? What year is it?
It's 2000, and execute a flawless Christmas rollout.
Okay, fine. Well, what happens next year when you have to do the rollout before Christmas on top of the already Christmas rollout?
What a quandary, Dr. Spock. A real head-scratcher from Mr. Albert Einstein. Let's see. I guess I would just... execute a flawless Christmas rollout.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, so do you want me to put it all away first and then I'll pull it all back out again?
Sure. And while we're at it, we'll wear money hats and we'll sail to the planet Money on our money boats. No, Warren Buffett. Just leave it where it is.
Meredith, can you tell us what you're seeing now?
Well, Jim, the crowd here in Times Square is abuzz. No one is quite sure what to believe.
So the reports are true?
Yes, Jim, it appears as though Santa Claus may be real. Sometime this evening, the mythical pixie was spotted sitting atop of the Lion King sign on 42nd Street. And what appeared to be a sleigh was parked haphazardly on a nearby roof.
So he was just sitting?
Oh, no, I'm afraid not, Jim. Mr. Claus appeared to be intoxicated.
Intoxicated? Did he say anything?
Yes, Jim. There are reports of a long rant.
A rant?
Yes, we're hearing things like, Rudy Giuliani can kiss my fat expletive, this ain't Times Square no more, and everything's gone up expletives creek, you're all a bunch of lousy sellouts.
Wow, some harsh words from St. Nick to Elton John in the city of New York this Christmas.
Yes, but it's not just them, Jim. Santa went on a joyride of sorts, terrorizing pedestrians and shouting tirades. I quote, all you lousy modern know-it-alls and your sanctioned credit card slavery, Merry Christmas to your tiny, innocent Asian friends. Happy bleeping holidays. Now sleep in this bunk for 2 hours a night and make some more plastic bowl expletive for the fat jerks.
Fat, Meredith? Perhaps that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Uh-huh. Claus already responded to this point, Jim, saying, I'm jolly fat, you all are just stupid fat. Yes. Then he mooned Central Park and took off down Broadway.
Any sign of him since?
Only spotty reports, Jim. A woman called in to say that she saw him in the village reciting a slam poem entitled Christmas is Dead, but that later turned out to be Andy Kaufman. Wait, Jim, yes. Oh, wait, oh my God. An out of control sleigh is careening down Second. Oh my God, Jim, did you hear that? A massive crash. There are hooves everywhere. People are scrambling. Wait, the smoke is clearing. I see a white glove. Yes, Santa Claus is pulling himself to the top of the wreckage. It looks like he's going to speak. Let me see if I can get in close and hear what he's saying.
All right, listen up. I got one thing to say, and I'm only going to say it once. I love you. I love you anyway, and you gotta hear me before it's too late, because you know your great-grandfather, you know that guy, he used to go down in his basement in June with a hammer, just a hammer, and he'd come out in December with a real choo-choo train, one that rolled on the track, made your grandpa really happy, you know? And then he grew up, and well, then he gave him just enough money, and he put him to sleep, and then they built a big old marketing monster, let it walk all over your good natural hearts. You made a false joy, a dark, empty space in your souls with a vacant mist of joy's illusion. You didn't know that they didn't want you to have real joy. What they wanted was you scared and sad and just strung along with a little taste of the imposter every year. Even that's gone now. We got nothing left. Now, the wife, she says, I'm too old and y'all forgotten me and we should just enjoy the autumn years and live with the memories and give up on you. But I tell her, no, don't count them out. It's time, my good friends, little boys and girls, to go back in the basement and pick up that hammer. Bake a damn cake once in a while. You still got it. I know you do, and you can feel it deep inside. And all you need is a song from a great band like Machine. Help them remember, fellas.
Machine, everybody. That's our show. American Parlor Songbook is presented by KBCR and produced by the American Parlor Company. We'll be back next week with a fun episode. We hope you have fun and you'll tune in again. We'd love to see you sometime at the Tudor House.
Oh, Wendell.
Yes, Martha, what is it?
Why do I smell candy canes?
I believe it's peppermint schnapps.
Why am I all sticky?
I believe it's peppermint schnapps.
And why is my face green?
Come on, Sherlock, you can do it.
Peppermint schnapps?
Give the winner a candy cane and let's get to sleep, shall we?
No. First you have to tell me why I'm covered in peppermint schnapps.
Do the words peppermint schnapps bath mean anything to you?
No, why?
Oh, because you shouted them before pouring the bottle all over your head. Oh, it was hysteria, all right. One covered in schnapps shouldn't walk so close to a candelabra, Martha.
Nonsense. I look wonderful in candlelight.
Oh, yes, engulfed in it.
Low light, Frank Capra. Gorgeous.
No, Martha. After the green schnapps bath, you hoisted the candelabra above your head and shouted, Lady Liberty.
So far, so good.
And then, like a little old Lady Wick, your hair went up in flames.
You're pulling my leg. I'm fine.
Oh, yes, you are, but your wig not so much. And it isn't me who's doing the leg pulling.
Oh, well, yes, I am known for a good gag.
Well, they gagged all right. You literally pulled Mr. Smith's prosthetic leg from his body and then proceeded to run around the room with it in place, shouting, Surrender, Tokyo, it's the Christmas monster.
Ooh, I like it. It's kitsch sci-fi.
Well, you'll enjoy the next part, then.
I'm sure I will.
Like Harryhausen's worst nightmare, you dropped your dress and began to climb the Christmas tree.
Oh, King Kong! It's hilarious!
Martha. There's little hilarious about naked Christmas tree climbing. There you are, teetering atop the pine, stark raving naked, covered in thistles and shouting timber. Down comes the whole mess, ornaments in the drinks, mouths agape, and there you are, splayed out, green with schnapps, unconscious atop a pile of decimated presents. And Martha, no prosthetic foot was ever meant to go where that one dared to tread.
Calm down, you square. It was just a little holiday fun.
It took Lance, Gregory, and Frederick to move your wrinkled body.
Oh, yes, the sugar plum fairies.
You should be thankful they were so discreet.
Oh, you know, they just wanted me out of the picture. No one wants to listen to their tacky songs when they've got me to look at.
Oh, don't worry, you made an encore.
Oh, fabulous. What number was it?
You proceeded to mangle an all-time Christmas great.
What was it, White Christmas?
No, Santa Baby.
Oh, perfect. That's sexy, funny, and sweet. It's just like me.
Perhaps until you went off book.
Oh, I don't need shots. I know that song like the back of my hand.
Well, it wasn't the back of your hand. Mooning is not part of the number, Martha.
It is now.
Quite. Well, I'm reasonably certain Kiss My Wrinkled Anything should appear nowhere in the lyrics.
You have to make a song your own. A little rewrite isn't going to hurt anyone's feelings.
Well, the lyrics were less of a concern. It was more the disturbing pantomime.
Go big, go saucy, or go home.
You aped about the room doing unspeakable things.
You seem to be speaking of them.
Martha, can't we just have one Christmas that doesn't end with Santa Baby nudity and tears?
Ooh, who cried?
Lance.
Oh, Lance. He cries if he breaks a nail.
He also cries if one finishes the number with scurry up a pansy tonight and pours the gravy boat all over his head.
Please tell me you've got pictures. This classic is going in the Christmas album.
I can't believe you're proud of that book.
It's my life's work, Wendell.
A photo album of holiday catastrophes is your life's work.
One man's catastrophe is another man's art.
Well, let's have a look at this masterpiece, then, shall we? We'll see what's what. Just take a little walk down foggy memory lane.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love nostalgia this time of year.
Well, here it is, the big green book of shame.
Shame, it's not bigger.
All right, let us begin at the beginning. Here we are, Christmas 1952.
Oh, I look great in black and white.
Martha, that's the border collie. You're over there in the trash can.
Oh, that's slapstick. It's perfect.
Look at you with your two toothpick legs sticking out.
Was that a laugh?
No, it's an incredulous snicker.
Sure.
Well, shall we continue then?
Yes, let's do. Look. It's the year I was blacklisted by McCarthy.
Martha, you weren't blacklisted for communism. It was for streaking Nat King Cole's Christmas special.
Oh, yes, there I am in handcuffs. Oh, I'm beautiful.
Oh, and here you are a few years later in a tinsel wig on Sidney Poitier's shoulders.
Somebody's got the giggles.
No, it's shock. Sometimes we laugh when we're nervous, Martha.
Oh, all right, Wendell.
Oh, look at your face in this one here.
Oh, yes, the great baby caper.
Yes, you stole the baby from Liberace's nativity scene and climbed in yourself.
Yes, I waited for that dandy to take a peek, and then
I... And then you sprayed him with the seltzer bottle.
Look at him, he's dripping.
Hilarious.
What?
Oh, well, all right, maybe there is something to this book of yours here.
Go on.
Well, it's like I always say, you make things interesting.
And you love it.
Sometimes it takes me a few years to catch on, I suppose.
Wendell, look at these pictures here.
Yes.
What do you notice about them?
Let's see. Broad chaos, nudity, property damage, people with various foods on them.
Yes, but who, darling?
Mostly you, I suppose.
Yes. And who never, not even once? Mm.
Well, me, I guess.
That's right.
Well, I suppose that's sweet in some kind of twisted way.
Look at these pictures here. What I see, I see life. I see ups and downs and bodies and punchlines, a few drinks. And what is life if you can't make a few waves, Wendell?
No, I guess it's boring.
That's right, it's boring. And I don't always end up the center of attention.
Oh, yes, there was that one year when I blew a fuse and threw a grape at Lance.
Oh, yes, see, you've got it in you. I would have gone with a watermelon, but still.
Martha, do you remember our first Christmas together?
Oh, was that Hawaii with the boys?
No, it was just you and I, actually.
Oh, yes, it's the cabin.
Yes, we were supposed to be in New York, but the snow.
Oh, the snow was so white.
Yes, and the roads were closed.
We were stuck up there with nothing.
And no one to torment.
Just you.
Well, actually, dear, you were quite sweet.
Oh, stop it. Now I'm blushing.
Well, you found some beans and a can of tuna fish, and you managed to make us a charming little Christmas dinner.
Yes, which we ate by the fire.
Which I made from the kitchen chair.
Which made me think you were so butch.
Which made me pull you closer.
Oh, then you said something so sweet.
Yes, I told you that I wanted to spend every Christmas with you.
So far, so good.
And a few more, I hope.
With you, yes.
Maybe one year we could be alone again, you know, relive the old memories, just the two of us, a little romance.
We are alone right now, aren't we?
So we are.
And that's a fireplace over there, isn't it?
It looks that way.
So?
So?
So, how about you put your arm around me and sing me my song?
Well, very well. Just come sit here by me and
yes.
I'll sing you your favorite song.
That's nice. Yes, go ahead.
Mother, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We burn the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Christmas Day and presents when you wake, and all is love and light. Sleep tight.